You can turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah, the fifth of the, the minor prophets. I think it's the minor star prophets. Start with Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Yeah, it's the fifth one. But Jonah, we have been walking through the book of Jonah, and we are to verse number 3. Although this is only the third week, but I don't suspect that week by week it will take this long for us to get through all of this, but just how the Lord has led. So if you're in the book of Jonah, it's been fun for me to study and to read this and just see how the Lord opens the scripture up to us. And there's so much here in the book of Jonah that is applicable to us as Christians. What a vivid story that we get to read and the truths that we get to glean. Let's read again the first 3 verses here of the book of Jonah. Let's read it together. A couple of weeks I've read it to you, but let's all read it together, starting in verse number 1, reading down through verse number 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let me open in a word of prayer as we look at the idea of running from the Lord. Lord, I ask you this morning that you would speak to our hearts, that you would indeed open up these few verses that we've looked at, now for the third week. And God, I pray that there would not be a matter of repetition or something that might be looked at as, oh, we've heard this already, but God, that it would be impactful on our lives, that it would touch our hearts where we're at as individual Christians, as individual believers, as those here who maybe don't know you as Lord and Savior, but God would too try and run from you. I pray, God, that you would open our eyes, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that you might speak to us from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've looked at this story of Jonah, we first saw the certainty of Jonah. We looked at the fact that it did happen, kind of by way of introduction, that this is a true story, and we know that it's true. It was recorded for us. And then we saw the call of Jonah there in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And my magnificent thing to have the call of God come to us, and hopefully the call of salvation has come to you. Then we saw the commission of Jonah. He said, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And he was commissioned to go and to cry against that wicked city, against the wickedness that was ever before God Almighty. And we talked a little bit last week about how the wickedness of man is before God all the time. God sees it, not just the wickedness of the place called Nineveh, but our wickedness as well. God sees down into the heart of hearts of each and every soul here. And even when nobody else sees us, we know God sees us. Amen? We know he is watching. I'll tell you what, in the day and age that we live today, where you are probably on camera almost anywhere you go today. I mean, years ago, I got into video, and I was a videographer, and I did all the video productions for a church and a ministry, and we would do shooting. And any time you did shooting in a public place, anybody in that public place had to be made aware of the fact that you were videoing. And if they were going to be on there and be shown, not be like blocked out or something, you had to go get a release form, legally had to get a release form and get everybody that happened to show up on your video to sign it. Or you were liable. Not today. Video is everywhere. I mean, there's drones flying over the property over there. They're recording us as we do things. And I'm wondering who in the community is wondering what we're doing on the new church property over there. But you know what? You can fly a drone anywhere. You're on video all the time, and you think about, man, I better be careful because they might be videoing me. You better be careful because God might be watching. I guess I should leave the might out. God is watching, right? God is watching. He said, arise and go to Nineveh. He was commissioned to go and to cry against that great wickedness. And we talked about that's the job of the pastor, of the preacher of the Word of God, is to cry against the wickedness of man and to make us aware of where we have fallen short. That's what the law was for. It was to picture, to show wherein we had broken the law and realize that we need a Savior. We saw that. We knew that Nineveh was called, Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. God told him to go, but Jonah said no. And he wanted to go do his own thing. And then we introduced the idea of the contravention of Jonah last week, the contravention of Jonah, where he wanted to stand against God. A contravention is someone that stands up in opposition to the completion of something. You know as well as I do, most of the time, we know exactly what God wants us to do. We know where God wants us to go, what He wants from us. He's spoken to our heart. He's touched our heart. He said, you need to do this or you need to do that. And so many times we are like Jonah. We say, no. No, I don't want to do that, God. I'll do this and this and this. But that, I don't want to do that. Aren't you happy, God? I said I would do this and this and this, but God, that I don't want to do. And God's calling us and saying, this is what you need to do. Like Jonah of old, we have a rebellious heart and stand in contravention to God's plan. You know, rebellion is celebrated today. Rebellion is lifted up. It's praised today. It's made popular, and people look at rebellion and think it's a good thing. You don't think so? Look at Colin Kaepernick. He has won GQ's Citizen of the Year Award. You telling me there's not a soldier that stood for something for our country that has fought, who has sacrificed, that deserves the Citizen of the Year Award? You telling me there's not an entrepreneur that started a company that employs thousands of people and gives jobs and meets the needs for thousands of families that could deserve the Citizen of the Year Award? You know, J.J. Wyatt raised $37 million for the hurricane victims. He doesn't deserve the Citizen of the Year Award. But what do we praise? Somebody who stands up in opposition. That's human nature. Having a rebellious heart. Jonah chose here to flee from the presence of God. He says here, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. And the last phrase of verse number 3, to go into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, that is our human inclination. That is what we want to do. That is our first response. You know, our first response is not to fess up. Our first response is not to take ownership. Like a kid who got caught with his hand in the cookie jar and crumbs all over his face, crumbs on the floor where he's standing there eating them, and mom or dad come in the room, and he goes, I mean, he's got crumbs everywhere, but somehow he's going to hide it that nobody knows. Nobody knows, and the kids, the look they have, I mean, you come in, you don't have to see what they're doing at all. You just look at him and say, son, what were you doing? I know you're doing something. But they don't want to fess up. That's our nature. We don't want to own it. And first thing we want to do is make an excuse. The first thing we want to do is run and hide. That is the nature of man, and it has been all the way since Adam and Eve in the garden. What did they do? They had been given freely to eat of anything in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else they could eat freely of. But they went, and Eve, being beguiled by Satan, the serpent came and tricked her, and she took of that fruit, and she took it to Adam, and she said, Adam, you know, you've got to try this, you've got to eat this, and I don't know what Adam's motivation was. Maybe he didn't want to rock the boat, maybe he didn't want to go against his wife, but whatever the case may be, he took of the fruit that he was not to eat of. And the Bible says, what'd they do? They went and hid themselves. God came to walk with them in the cool of the day and said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? He went to hide himself. From Adam until today, When we're in sin, we try and hide. We still try and hide. He wanted to run from the presence of God. And this is our human inclination whenever we're in sin. You know, the devil will always provide you an alternative route. He'll provide you an alternative route, something else that you can do. You know, Tarshish was in the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. We looked at that, and we've seen geographically where they're located, 2,500 miles in the wrong direction. The devil will always provide you an alternate route against God's plan. And you know what's amazing is a lot of Christians will spiritualize it. I mean, they'll come down here to Joppa, and oh, look, here's a boat going to Tarshish on the exact day, at the exact time that I need it. It must be God's will. Look at the open door God provided. I mean, what are the chances of me coming here on today and there being a boat going to Tarshish? Must be God's will. When he knew he was going against God's will. But we spiritualize it. And sometimes we take that open door. Oh, look at the open door God provided. And it's not what God provided. Satan provides an alternate route. You know, many times, I mean, you think about it. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. If it's too easy, you might wonder, is this really what God's leading me to do? Now, God can open doors and he can close doors and he can give you leading in your life. But what I'm saying is you got to be weary because the devil will provide you an alternate route. Every time. Oh, God, I'll do this and this and this, but I won't do that. God says, I want you to do this. And you say, oh, look, there's a ministry opportunity. God opened up. I'm going to go and I'm going to serve in the choir. And God wants you to serve in the parking lot ministry, but you don't like being outside where it's cold. You say, God, I don't want to do that. But you know what? I'll serve in the choir. And you do something else. Whatever it might be in your life. The devil provides an alternate route, but I want you to know that all the devil's apples have worms. Doesn't matter how pretty it looks, how good the opportunity, all the devil's apples have worms. You know, it's a hopeless impossibility. It's our human inclination to try and run from God, but it's a hopeless impossibility. And we know that in the back of our mind. I mean, how could we run from God, right? Yet, since the time of Adam until today, man has tried to run from God. We cannot flee from the presence of God. Psalms 139, verses 7 through 12 says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hide not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, the darkness as the light, and both are alike to thee. It doesn't matter how far you go or how black the night, God can still see you. We can't run from the presence of God. It's an impossibility. And we think a new location or going to some other place or doing something else or finding a new congregation, we can't run from the presence of God. You know, we can't flee the presence of God and we can't forget who we are. We can't forget who we are. We are God's creation. We are one part of this small world, this one small part of this great big world. I was listening to this week to advice to college students, and this gentleman was talking about how when he graduated from college, he was going to impact the world, and he had all these dreams and ambitions, and he had the world by the tail, and he was a college graduate, and he got in his car, and he left school, and he drove all the way to the city of Chicago, and there in Chicago, he went up into the Willis Tower, which was the Sears Tower, and he was up there on the Willis Tower, and he was looking out over this great big city. and he knew nobody in town had no place to stay, no job opportunities. And he said, right then it hit me how tiny I really was in this great big world. How tiny we are as a creation of God. Now praise God that he loves us and he's concerned about every hair on your head. God Almighty is concerned about you, but you know what? We can't forget who we are in this picture. We are his creation. Like if you had some ants crawling on your counter in your kitchen, say, man, these ants aren't supposed to be there. And you sweep them up and throw them away without a thought, without any effort, without considering even, I mean, if you have a spider crawling, it's made a web there in the corner of your door jamb or in the behind the couch, and you pull the couch out to clean and there's a little spider there without a thought. We're just a small part, just a small speck in God's mighty creation. Now praise God in his love. He's concerned about us. But we can't forget who we are. It's a hopeless impossibility to try and flee from the presence of God. Satan himself, one of the greatest angels ever created, in Isaiah chapter 14, God said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which dost weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend up into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And God, without a thought, took all of Satan, cast him from heaven, and all those angels that were following him. You and I need to remember who we are in this world. Jonah chose to flee from the presence of God. Not only that, Jonah chose a failing provision. He chose a failing provision. You see here in our text, verse number 3, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he, what's the next three words? He paid the fare thereof. He paid the fare thereof. When you run from God's plan, you're on your own. You're going to pay the fare thereof. Whatever it is, you're going to pay it. There's always a cost to run from God. And you're going to pay it. Whatever that fare is, you're going to pay it. John chapter 1, verse number 5 through 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. God wants to answer our prayers and provide and to meet our needs. But not when we'll run into Tarshish. Jonah had to pay the fare thereof. He lost God's provision. You know, many would rather pay the fare, the cost of sin, than the cost of surrender. Many would rather pay the fare of sin than the fare of surrender. You know, there is a cost to surrendering to God as well, to do God's will. And many look at the cost of serving God and they say, oh, you know what, I don't want to do that. But they look at the cost of sin and they say, I'll do that. How foolish and unwise of a choice is that? You know, I asked Pastor Gus to get me this picture. This at one time was the most expensive dessert in the world. In the city of New York, you can go and buy this dessert today. It will cost you $25,000. $25,000, this little bowl of ice cream. It's topped with the highest grades of cocoa, edible gold, shavings of luxurious truffle. This was declared by the Guinness World Book of Records at one point to be the most expensive dessert in the world. It has the most expensive cocoas from 14 countries mixed in. It has 5 grams of edible 24-karat gold, topped with whipped cream. I had whipped cream on my pie last week. Shavings from the La Madeleine El Truffle. It's served in a golden goblet, decorated with diamonds, and served with a golden spoon that you get to keep when you go home. So you get to take the golden spoon home as one of those that have eaten the most expensive dessert in the world. That's pretty foolish. I don't know why you'd want to eat gold anyway, but even if it tasted just unbelievable, $25,000 for this dessert, that's foolish. And do you know you'll be in the same place when you're like the prodigal son and it says that he came to himself and he realized where he was? And you'll realize that the cost of sin was such a high price, you should have never paid it. But then it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Choose today to choose to pay the cost of surrender instead of the cost of sin. The fare always looks good on the surface, but it's a lie of the devil. The Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. You know, something that you must consider is that disobedience always leaves a scar that is rarely, if ever, removed. You know what's amazing here? This book of Jonah, we haven't got to it yet, but you know in the latter chapters here, Jonah went and did what God wanted him to do. You know, Jonah preached and had what was probably the most magnificent revival given to us in recorded history. But what is it that most people talk about when they talk about Jonah? That he ran from God and God had to judge him. You see, it left a scar that these many thousands of years later still is not removed. Sin will leave a scar that rarely, if ever, is removed. I think it'd be better for us to choose the cost of surrender instead of sin. Look at Isaiah, if you would, Isaiah chapter 1. You can turn back. You're there at the minor prophets. You're going to turn back into the major prophets through Daniel, through Ezekiel. To get to Isaiah, turn to chapter 1, Isaiah chapter number 1. Look down at verse number 18. Isaiah chapter number 1, verse number 18 through verse number 20, he says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." You have the ability to have your sins forgiven, to be washed, to be clean, to have all of your sins wiped away. And if you be willing, you can do that. But if you rebel, you shall be devoured. But it's a choice God presents to each and every one of us. How many of you have ever made a bad decision that has become the joke of your family? something happened in your life, something you did at some Christmas so many years ago, or as a child you thought you were going to do this, and now every time you get together, for some reason that comes up. Like, they keep bringing it up. They just won't let you forget that one bad decision that you made. It's left a mark that just doesn't want to go away. It was, you were just a kid, and it was just foolishness, and they keep talking about it. You know one thing I did? And today, to this day, I don't have any idea what was in my mind. Why in the world did I do that? And why did my sister let me do it? My oldest sister, she was the first one to get married. And I had some white shoes, all white shoes. And for some reason, I wore my white shoes for her wedding. We are there all dressed, black tie, all standing up in front, all these people, black tie, black shoes, black tie, black suit, black, and there's Caleb with his white shoes on. To this day, she's like, why did you do that in my wedding? I mean, look at my wedding pictures. I still have them all these years later, and there you are in your white shoes. I'm like, why did you let me wear white shoes? You should have, I mean, what in the world? You talk about dorky looking. I really look dorky. But when I was 17, I thought I was cool, you know. I'm going to be different. I'm going to wear white shoes. I'm going to be an idiot. That's most teenagers are that way. Till they wise up. Yep. Till they wise up. The foolish things we do a lot of times leave marks that we never get past. Choose to follow God first. Jonah had some false partners. You know, you get into this world and they'll hang with you as long as you got the money. They'll hang with you as long as you're providing the fun. But here are these false partners. He was in this boat and they said, hey, who is it? That caused this problem, and you know what happens? They threw him overboard. Your friends will throw you overboard. They're not going to stay with you. It's amazing how little we put up with in the house of God, and or how little we demand of our friends in the world, but how much we demand of the house of God. Everything at church has to be perfect. Everybody at church has to greet you just right. Everything in the house of God has to line up a certain way. But our friends, who are little more than leeches, we still hang around. We still talk to. We still connect with. You know, somebody put this together. The reason that I'm giving up on all sports, football, baseball, basketball, winter, he's decided. The reason he's giving up on all sports, attending any sports of any kind, is this. Let me give you a few of them. First, every time I went to a game, the first thing they did was ask for money. The people I sat next to at the game didn't seem that friendly. The seats at the game were hard and uncomfortable. I went to many games, but you know what? The coach never came in my house. The coach never came to visit me. The referee made decisions that I didn't agree with. The game went into overtime, and I was late getting home. The band played some numbers that I didn't know. It seems that games are always scheduled when I want to do something else. I suspect that I was sitting next to some real hypocrites. They came just to see their friends and talk. They weren't really interested in the game. I was taken to way too many games as a kid by my parents. So I'm going to stop going to games today. I hate to wait in the traffic jams that get in the parking lot after the game. And that's all in fun and facetious. You guys are all sitting here like a bump on a log. But you know what we're talking about. Things in the world are all okay. But these friends that are false, that aren't going to hang with us, we don't demand much of them. But when we come to the church house, we demand it all. Jonah chose some very frail protection. You see, he went down into a boat. You know, your boat is only as secure, or you're only as secure as the boat you're in. He had very frail protection. How weak and small is our protection when we're away from God? I would rather have no insurance in God's protection than the best insurance that man can buy and not have God on my side. Without God's protection, you begin to build your own failing plan. You build bank accounts and insurances and stocks and whatever you can to provide yourself some type of security. And there's nothing wrong with planning. But if that's what we're looking for protection, you realize how weak that is? It could all change in a heartbeat. I had a personal friend some years ago that in one night of the stock market changing, he had his investments all invested in dot-com stock during the boom, and in one night he lost it all. Went to bed very wealthy, got up in the morning, and owed people money. In one night. Oh, but I'm wealthy. I'm doing good. He was talking about retiring at like 31 years old. He lost it all. Where's your security? It's only as good as the boat you're in. This here we see started a downward path that Jonah was on. Jonah went down to Joppa, the Bible says. He went down into the ship. Jonah went down into the belly of the whale. Do you understand that anytime you're running away from God, you're on a downward path? You're on a downward path. And you know how hard it is to stop running when you're going downhill? When you're running downhill, how many of you have ever tried to stop? We were in Israel and had a group of people there, and Pastor Courtney Lewis, who pastored the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago, he was with us. And we climbed up this hill, and I don't remember what hill it was. I think we were in the Valley of Elah, which is where David and Goliath were. And he climbed up this hill to overlook the valley, like on one side of the mountain where the Israelites or the Philistines would have been. And a number of people climbed it. Well, he decided to run down. And one gentleman ran in front of him, somebody that was about 10 inches taller than him. That 10 inches helps a lot in your stride. Well, he started running down this hill, and there's about 40 of us there watching, and he started getting speed, and we're like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And I turned the camera on. Oh, no. Oh, no. I started videoing, and he was coming down that hill, and you could see it. Like, his legs just didn't, I mean, he was moving as fast as he could, and there's no way he could stop, but his legs wouldn't move any faster. And all of a sudden, going downhill, the top of his body went a little faster than the bottom of his body, and at a dead run, faster than he's ever run before, he was into the gravel. This piece of skin right here, it ripped the whole thing off. Just, he had a whole chunk of skin. And I got it on video. So I sent it to him. When I was there with his church, I was preaching to his church family, and I said, you guys want to see your pastor? And I sent them the video, but I gave him the discretion of whether he wanted to show it or not. But running downhill is hard to stop. And when you or I are running from God, you're on a downward path, it's hard to stop. It's hard to stop. Don't get going to the point where you're moving so quick, you just can't get, you end up falling so hard, you've got damage that you just can't get away from. In conclusion this morning, are you fighting against God? Are you fighting against what God wants you to do? Are you choosing to pay the price of sin instead of the cost of surrender? How many of you have lost God's provision and God's protection because you're doing what you want to do instead of what God has asked of you? Jonah's disobedience has brought him into a storm. Are you in a storm because of a similar situation? This morning you respond to God as God speaks to you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. As we have an invitation this morning, An invitation is a time for you to be put into a ballot box. You're there. It's time for you to cast your vote. It's time for you to make a choice. This same old choice that was presented to every soul in every situation. Are you going to choose Caesar? Or are you going to choose Christ? Are you going to choose this world? Or choose the Lord? That's the invitation this morning. Respond to God or choose your own path. I hope this morning you choose the cost of surrender over the cost of sin. Lord, I pray that as the pianist plays, your people will respond to you and do what you've called them to do. If there's one here today that hasn't started on their journey with you, they don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray God today would be the day that they would settle that and they would cast the ballot to choose Christ, to choose salvation over every other option. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.